can only pray that that flu bug, bird flu, eh? Something like that. Stay away from the bird. But I understand you can't catch this from a bird. You have to get it from another person. So, I'd like for us tonight to, I want to be heard, and I don't want to strain myself. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. What I've been thinking about, sometimes a charge is made against those that profess to be Christians in that we are not very serious in our claims to being a Christian, and that they seem to recognize that far more is expected of us than we ever really measure up to. I don't know if you detect that or not, but kind of take the attitude we're a lackadaisical group that we don't take it very seriously. I hope that's not true. I think that all of us that have come to grips with this matter of being a poor sinner and saved by the grace of God have to realize in the depths of our soul that something's been done for us, that you can't measure it by any standard on the face of the earth. There's no monetary measure that could possibly measure up to the value of what has been done for us. So, in view of all of that, we should be dedicated to all that we are asked to do as believers. Our feet have been put on the pathway of righteousness for His name's sake, and we call ourselves Christians, and we should measure up to the divine standard. So, I'd like to read this passage because it deals with some thoughts, I think, that will help us. If we are lax, if we are lackadaisical in things that are spiritual, and if there's not that measure of seriousness and dedication, listen, when the Word of God says that, and the Apostle Paul makes is the one that says this, it's something well-pleasing to God in the life of a believer. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And God's well pleased with this. We're not our own, we were purchased for the price. And there again, when you begin to think about the price, we do that every Lord's Day morning when we come around the communion table. We are thinking and remembering about what was paid to bring us into this privileged place, children of God. So let's read from verse 10. This warfare of spirit-filled believers. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And shall we just look to the Lord again in a word of prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're so thankful You know our heart. Lord, we don't have to try to explain to Thee how much we love You, how much we desire to obey and to walk in a pathway that's well-pleasing to Thee. Lord, You know. You know every one of our hearts. Grant, we pray Thee, that Indeed, we will measure up to your expectations, and those that are in the world, those that are enemies of the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ, will never be able to say of one of us that we did not take seriously this matter of living this life that we have that is a gift from thee. It's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we ask this with thanksgiving. Amen. Well, in thinking about this, the Apostle Paul says, finally, he's gone over a long list of things in this Ephesian epistle, one that takes us into the heavenlies, and he finally arrives at that point, be strong in the Lord. Now, in most cases, I think most cases, we sometimes think we are stronger than we really are. If you want to find out how strong you are, be tested. Be tested. Athletes find this out real quick. Don't tell me how good you are. Show me. Show me how good you are. I'll find out whether you've got it or not. You don't have to tell me. You just do what I tell you to do and I'll find out. And so it is with the Lord. Just think, omnipotent power. There is no power that you can think of that's greater than the power of God. And here we're told, finally put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're going to be faced with a challenge. And the proof of how much this omnipotent power is working in each of our lives, pretty soon it'll be seen. Can we stand? Can we stand? Do we wither? Do we wither in the face of difficulty that, well, you might say, that didn't seem like it was very severe to me, but you couldn't even take that. So, there's something here to consider that's very serious and should be a part of any consideration that we have of having a good, strong, viable testimony to the saving grace of God and the power that He provides in living this new life that we have in Christ. Because He knows that we're going to be engaged in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare now. And you know all the difficulties that arise when we as a nation become involved in wars with other nations. We're involved right now, and it is causing a lot of division, and it's causing a lot of things to happen around the world. I mean, it's touching our lives as well. It's interesting to me that when we're told to put on the whole armor of God, If you know anything about military life, if you know anything about some of the agencies, private agencies, the public agencies that are involved in keeping law and order, and so forth, they're not asked, they're told. You do this, and you better do it, because you know that if you don't do it, you know that what will happen, it won't be very pleasant. So, when a believer is told, put on the whole armor of God, that's what it means. Don't get up half-dressed and think you can go out and wage spiritual warfare. In this case, it doesn't say against the power of the devil, the wiles of the devil. You're dealing with an enemy. excuse me. You're dealing with an enemy, no holds barred. He'll stick his fingers in your eyes if he has to. He'll do anything he can to hinder you in whatever you endeavor to do for the glory of God. Because what we're asked to do in putting on this armor, all of this armor that we put on, is to protect us in areas that are so vital to our Christian witness. For instance, we're going to be in spiritual warfare. It will be against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Most people might say, I didn't even know that such things existed. Well, they're there. They're in place. It's happening. Satan, of course, in this day of sovereign grace on the face of the earth, is the god of this world. He seems to be a very commanding figure in that he rules over all of those that will not accept divine rule over their lives. Our Lord Jesus Christ would call Pharisees and anyone else that would refuse to bow to the authority of God and his rule over their lives, you are of your father the devil. You won't bow to God, but you have bowed to the authority of the flesh. And the flesh responds from a different perspective than that of the Spirit of God controlling. And Satan knows how to manipulate and appeal to the flesh. Temptation, presenting before any person things that are so attractive that they just can't resist it. But here we have put before us these things that are so important, is so you can indeed, like the fellow said, if you want to prove you're strong, then take the test. We're thinking about this, and I remember the guy, he boasted about what he could do. And they brought in this guy, and he said, how much can you bench press? Now, if I remember what that is, you get on your back and you have this barbell and you push this thing up and down, and the amount of that weight, of course, can be tremendous. These guys do tremendous bench pressing. Seemed like he said 425 pounds. This was the boast. Well, he put the 425, whatever it was, on there, and he got red-faced. He pumped, but he could not pump up. He could not press that 425 pounds. Now, I'll go back to what I said in the beginning. Do we sometimes have an exaggerated idea about how strong we are spiritually? I think most of us feel like that we can meet the challenges in life and that we can handle it. If you're not careful, what is the source of your power in handling these problems that are in life? Well, you can say this, and this takes us to the heart of the matter. I'm indwelt and empowered by the Spirit of God. That's true. That's true. But it always comes down to the point, how much are you yielding? How much are you recognizing that authority and power that God has imparted to you as being the only way you can be victorious in this challenge by the enemy and in this warfare, this spiritual warfare that we've become a part of? I'm told that this whole concept, and this is in a couple of commentaries that I've read, Roman soldiers, be they six or eight, a squad, they never acted alone. In most cases, if there was any threat to anything that they were held responsible for, they approached it in a group. And they had a way of stationing themselves so that the backside was never exposed. You may have noticed there is no armament for the backside. The Roman soldiers, the way they stood, you had to face them head on. And they were very effective in what they did. And I say this to you and to me as believers, we need to band together and act as one when there's any threat to the body of Christ. Let us not say, I'm going to be the Lone Ranger and I can take care of this and so forth. No. It can be a sharing, I think, of those threats to the body of Christ. We should jealously guard over anything that would be a threat to Christian testimony and our witness as believers, and not try to be the Lone Ranger, so to speak. I need your help. I need your support. I need your prayers. And don't look upon it as saying, well, that makes it appear that I'm weak and I'm not able to handle this. Oh, no, but that's God's way to do it. That's God's way of doing it. That we would indeed act as one from that position of strength. And then, when you think about the different pieces of armament that are used here, you need to examine, when you look at what is said about a belt, having your loins girt about with truth. You know, one thing that should personify every believer as a person, his character, what he is as a neighbor, as someone that you do business with, that man tells the truth. Know the truth, it will liberate, it will set you free. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth. I am the way, the light, the truth that comes from the very heart of God to you. Truth has been imparted to a believer, being characterized by truthfulness, come what may. Indeed, there's great strength. This belt that would gird all this arm and hold it together. Truth. Gird about with truth. It binds all. If there's not truth associated with it, all the rest of it becomes meaningless. You see, at the very outset, you've developed a weakness. Doesn't tell the truth. Tells lies. Says things that are not true. So you know and I know too, we know people, and we know that they're known of others because the news gets around, he does not tell the truth. Does not tell the truth. A businessman that gets the reputation, he's not a truthful man. And that's important, you know, people in business, they don't want to do anything to lose business, but so much today takes place under the guise of being truth, and it's not truth. Don't let that be true of us. All that God would have us to put on, to engage in spiritual warfare, it begins with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate, that which protects all the vital parts, our Christian witness. What is it that we value so much as a believer? Righteousness has been put to my account. Righteousness has been put to my account. Divine righteousness, a righteousness that God respects, is something that indeed we should value oh so highly. He that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let righteousness as a breastplate that protects so much of the vital parts of Christian witness. Let it be that thing that we maintain at all costs. We never compromise. We never make concessions. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He is our peace. We have a message for the world. It's good news. It's good news. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have that opportunity. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. It's done something to our lives. It has motivated us to go out and to be a witness in the world that we live in today. Above all, taking the shield of faith. The Word of God says without faith you can't do anything to please God. How can we start out on the basis of faith, trusting God? Faith that indeed, like a little grain of mustard seed, could remove mountains. This faith is such a part. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And here we are encouraged. That shield of faith. And those fiery darts that are going to come flying at us. How do you stop them? Shield of faith. By faith! So many in the Word of God, when you read about what they did and how they responded to what was put before them as a challenge to their faith, the shield of faith was presented. Oh, it's a mighty force for good in the world today to hear when someone say, that man, that woman is a man or woman of faith. They believe what God has said to them. They claim the promises of the Word of God, and they waver not. And so often we find that, what is that person doing? From what position do they take their stand in the world? Is it a position of strong faith? I've heard people say, well, my faith is not very strong. Well, we have accounts in the Word of God where the man said, Lord, increase my faith. Make me strong, faithful. Make me strong in my faith. This becomes so important. The helmet of salvation. You know, the motorcycle riders, they didn't like the idea of putting the helmets on. I think it saves a lot of lives. It's foolish for somebody to be going along as fast as those motorcycles will go, nothing on the head to protect them. And indeed, they can be hurt and hurt bad. Think about a soldier. Put your helmet on. Maybe there's shrapnel flying all over the place. Put your helmet on. The helmet of salvation. We're talking about something that God, that our God has put at our disposal to defend to the world, that is the power of God unto salvation. And do whatever God tells you to do in regard to taking and presenting that message to the world, the helmet of salvation. This message is more important than anything I can think of. This is the source of where the mind, where we generate our thoughts, our intelligence, and what we believe comes from our head. So cover it with the helmet of salvation. Let it be protected by what God has provided for us. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, have you ever taken the Word of God and given just a verse of Scripture to a person and said, you know, he may not know it, but I know it. The Spirit of God can take that and just like a sharp, two-edged sword, he can plunge it right into his heart and mind. Bring about conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what we have with the Word of God. And that's what the Spirit of God uses. And I think we need to be on guard against that. It's not my opinion. It's not my idea. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that's powerful, not what I can think up as being, now this is better. This is a better idea than God had. And I'm going to use it. Can't use anything more powerful and more effective than the Word of God. Some people may think so. It's like saying I'm smarter than God. He didn't know how to say this. So I've polished it up. Maybe that's the reason sometimes people take such exception to all of the new translations and things that come out. And they examine it and say, hey, wait a minute, there's been a departure here. This is not the Word of God. The introduction into something that is so valuable as the Word of God human ideas being introduced. That's losing power, not gaining power. And then you have it all bound up in prayer. That's why we have a prayer meeting, isn't it? We believe in prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying. Spiritual warfare. We need to be reminded that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. Not of the flesh. It's the power of the Spirit of God working. These powerful words that we can speak to others regarding salvation, regarding the truth that's found in the Word of God. It's not of the flesh. It's of the Spirit. And it can bring down strongholds. I think one thing that that Satan hates more than anything else is that proclaiming of the Word of God. When he hears someone preaching the gospel, when he thinks about all of the efforts that are being made, BBM, television, all of the printed matter that goes out across the face of the earth, telling people how to be saved by the grace of God. He hates the Word of God. But he loves that which is of the flesh. That would pollute, defile, rather than the pure, powerful Word of the living God. Put on the whole armor of God. And of recent time, we've heard messages and thoughts about this. And it's not as if you wait until some crisis appears in your life that you say, well, I better put on the whole armor of God. I better get it on. You better keep it on. That's what we've been warned. You better keep it on. Don't go around so vulnerable that you have no power with God and you have no power in the world as a witness for God. Put on the whole armor of God. Live with it on. Sleep with it on. Let it become a part of our very being. What God provides, we need to take very seriously. What he says to do with it. He says, put it on. Put it on. Not one piece that I like and the other I don't put much emphasis on it. Soldier, put on your whole uniform. Put on your flak jacket. Put on your helmet. Because you are in the danger zone. You're in the enemy zone. This world that's under the curse and the God of this world doing all that he can to weaken Christian testimony and witness for God. Believe it. We must put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand not against the power of Satan, against the wiles of the devil. He's a rascal. Do anything and everything he can to weaken your Christian testimony and do harm to our witness in the world today to the saving grace of God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.